Please join me in prayer. O God, your word is trustworthy and true. Fill us with your spirit so that your word may be like water from the spring of life, satisfying our thirst for wisdom and truth. Amen. Good morning. I'm very much grateful and I'm thankful to God and to the congregation for giving me this opportunity to be part of this great congregation. This morning, my brothers and sisters, I want to highlight right at the beginning that the message of love is needed now more than ever. Every day when you wake up, when you see from the news, when you read from the newspapers, lots of stories, violence that is happening in our country and in the world because of hatred. And I think the message of love is very much convenient at this point in time. And hence, the message of the day is calling us the same, we, the congregation of today, as this congregation in the Johannine community, to love one another. Allow me this morning, my brothers and sisters, to say the commandment to love one another is inclusive and is ongoing. And our charge to love does not stop at these four corners of this wall, but rather it's a moving and it's ever moving toward and outward to the community. And as I begin my sermon this morning, I want to set the context of this text. And at the preceding verses, we hear Jesus there saying, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them until the end. And today's text comes from the portion of John's Gospel immediately leading to Jesus' arrest and crucifixion. And this is described by many as the farewell discourse. And Jesus is giving his last words just before his crucifixion and death. He is right there at the edge of death and he's giving this important message. I know this previous Sunday, last week, was the Mother's Day, and I saw a lot of people traveling from places to places, going to visit their mothers, their friends, their sisters, their aunts, and I saw the retail shops around selling many things for people to buy to give gifts to their mothers as a token, just to say thank you for what you have done to us. And it really was an important time for many people to express their love to their mothers, but also for the gratitude of what their mother has done for who they are to them and also to the entire families. It's an expression of love. And indeed, we do need to do the same. At this particular passage and commences, Jesus has already washed the feet of his disciples. And Judas has just departed to betray him. And the rest of the disciples are in the state of confusion. And just at this moment of drama and tension, Jesus offers these words, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you should love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. And it is only by love that people will know that you are my disciples. And I know sometimes you may ask me, it's hard to love. And I don't have anybody to love. But I want to challenge you, look around yourself. Just look around you. Look around in your community. Look around at your workplace. Look around in the street. There are so many things to do and to express your love. Jesus will be glorified in his death on the cross and resurrection. And the disciples will be glorified, or will glorify Jesus in the love they show. Which tells us, I think, that a great deal about the kind of love Jesus is talking about. And this surely isn't romantic love. But of course, sometimes I know very well when I tell my wife and I text, when I'm at work and say, I love you. Oh, she's so happy. You know, she's so happy. And I see, when she does the same to me, when she texts back, and I love you too. Oh, that day is so nice, you know. I'm loved. And when you're loved, it really impacts something. It bears something in your heart and in your life. So by just saying, I love you, it's very important. But Jesus is talking much more than just about romantic love. And Jesus is not talking about just simply being nice. You know, sometimes it's an excuse to many people, you know, I'm just nice. Yes, yes, you're nice. Jesus is not talking about being nice here. He is talking about the sacrificial love. He is talking about service. How much do we do to the other people? And as we see here, Jesus has just assumed the role of being a slave by washing the feet, the dusty and dirty feet of the disciples. And I want you to think about that. One would expect, you know, Jesus to make a speech about Judas. And here we see Jesus is feeding the betrayer. He is washing his disciples. Great service he is giving. And Jesus is aware of what is going to Peter. He knew that Peter was going to deny him. But he didn't focus about that. He didn't focus about the past failures of his disciples, that is Judas. He didn't focus on the failure which Peter will do next. But rather, he decided to give an important message about loving one another. And I want to acknowledge this morning that yes, love is hard because it's self-sacrificing. It's hard. It's giving yourself. It's sacrificing to do something for another person. In other words, it means putting the good of the other first, even if when it hurts, we need to give that love. Love is a constant vocation. It's not a one-time thing to do. You continuously to do it. Day in, day out, you need to express that. You'll not give yourself an excuse that, but I did this yesterday, so I'm done with that. It's a constant vocation. We are called to continue to demonstrate the love of Christ. It is the means to reveal God's heart to the other people. And love is shown in service and sacrifice. My brothers and sisters, let me give the other text that really brings this message, as I want to make reference to the other two gospel texts when we talk about loving the neighbor. And in Mark's gospel, you will find that Jesus was asked and he gives the reply. Jesus says, you shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And in the second of these, love your neighbor as yourself. And when you go in Luke's gospel, Jesus asks the lawyer who has come to question him about the eternal life. What is it written in the law? To which the lawyer gives the same answer. However, Luke then goes further. When the lawyer asks who his neighbor is, Jesus responds by telling the story of a man who fell into the hands of the robbers. And this parable is commonly known as the story of the Good Samaritan. But if we are to take Jesus' commandment to love the neighbor seriously, the focus of the parable should not be so much on the one acting in love, the Samaritan, as it is on the other who receives the love, the unidentified victim. The victim is the neighbor, the one whom Jesus is instructing the lawyer and the disciples to love. And in any case, whether the victim or the Samaritan or both are the focus And Jesus interprets the Jewish commandment to love the neighbor as a commandment to care for the other. Whoever finds themselves outside of your most similar and immediate or easiest and social acceptable group of friends, we see Jesus crossed the boundaries. He ate with sinners. He associated with the lepers. He associated with the prostitutes, and the list is endless. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, love the way I love. This is his important message to his disciples. And it is therefore not surprising that in Acts, the reading for today, the same author depicts Jesus sends Peter to the home of the Gentiles, commanding him to make no distinction between himself and them. Indeed, as a result of this encounter with those whom he would have otherwise avoided as others, not only are Peter and the whole Jerusalem church open to a larger view of ministry, but everyone in that household, including, one would assume, slaves, women, children, were baptized and experienced Christ's salvation. Which brings us back to the John's account. Jesus doesn't tell the disciples to love neighbors, Gentiles or Samaritans, victims or others. Jesus is directing his message to his disciples. One would want to think that there was conflict in the Johannine community that was going on. But in the midst of that conflict, Jesus is saying, you need to love one another. No matter how difficult, you need to love one another. And by so doing, they will know that you are my disciples. I find it very striking that these are the words Jesus lives with his disciples. I was telling, you know, the congregation in the morning, you know, about the last message. And I say, in my tradition, in my culture, the last words are very important. And when one is dying, people want to ask, what did he or she say as the last message? Sometimes people want to hear about the inheritance. People want to focus on that. I'm talking about my culture. That maybe dead will have left the list of the inheritance. And my father died in 2001, and I was apparently the child who was with him at that time. And many people, my uncles, you know, they were coming to me, what did he say? What did he say? And Jesus could have done the same. He could have told them other things. But he focused his message to loving one another. You, the inner circle, you, the disciples, demonstrate that you belong to this ministry by loving one another. And by so doing, they will learn that you are my disciples. And we see here, Jesus he doesn't say, go out, follow me and die with me at the same time. But instead, he focused, or he offered a simple and challenging word, love one another. Why? Because this kind of love is the hallmark, not only to God and Jesus, but also for the Christian church. The whole world will know that we are Christians, not by our sermons. I'm not saying sermons are bad. But that's not only the thing that can show that we are Christians. Not by the sacraments. It's very important to have the sacraments. It's very good. Not by our festivals, Christmas, all those other things that we can do. Our building, our crucifix, but by our love. It's just that important. We actually can and often do love one another. Sometimes the love command seems so challenging that we assume it's an ideal and a lofty goal that none of us will ever reach. But while we may not be perfectly loved, we do love. I know we do love in our small way in our communities. But let me challenge you this morning and ask you this question. What did you do to demonstrate the love of the other in the past week? And here I do not mean love to your wife, your kids, your children, your friend, or your wife, or your mother. But on the flip side, what situation over the past week or two where we find it difficult to love one another? Maybe it has been incredibly hard to forgive. But the truth of the matter is that we do love regularly, but we also fail regularly. But above and beyond Jesus' command to love, it is the actual act of love. Jesus goes to the cross to demonstrate that fact, that God so loved the world. He went to the cross to show in word and in deed that God is love, and that we as God's children are loved as well. So whether we succeed or fail in our attempts to love one another this week or last week, yet God in Jesus loves us more than we can possibly imagine. And hearing of this love, we are set free and set forth once again to love one another. It is not by our theological correctness, not by our moral purity, nor by our impressive knowledge that everyone will know that we are the disciples. It is quite simply by our loving acts. Acts of service and sacrifice. Acts that point to the love of God for the world made known in Christ Jesus. And as the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, and I quote, "We must discover the power of love. The redemptive power of love. And when we do that, we will make this world a new world." My brothers and sisters, love is the only way. When we go out today, let's go and demonstrate it. The power is in love. There is power in love. And don't underestimate it. Like I said, even a small text to say, "I love you," to my wife makes a difference. Love is powerful. And when we act in love, there is joy and there is gratitude. So love is faith in action. My brothers and sisters, let me conclude by saying and quote what the Episcopal Bishop said during the wedding of Meghan and Harry the Prince. When love is the way, I'm talking about unselfish and sacrificial and redemptive love. When love is the way, then no child will go to bed hungry in the world, in this world ever again. When love is the way, we will let justice roll down like the mighty stream and righteousness like ever-flowing brook. When love is the way, poverty will become history. When love is the way, the earth will be sanctuary to many. And when love is the way, we will lay down our swords and shields down by the riverside to start war no more. And when love is the way, there is plenty good room for all God's children to be part of it. And when love is the way, we know that God is the source of us all. And we are brothers and sisters, children of God. My brothers and sisters, that's a new heaven. That's the new earth. That's a new world and a new humanity. May God bless us this morning. Amen.